From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone reporting this hour from Liberia, where the spectacular beaches are closed because of Ebola, where people so exuberant they have a national handshake shrink from touching each other, where politics are so roiled that some fear a constitutional crisis, where memories of a blood-stained history weigh heavier now on many minds because of Ebola.
The Ebola had a free ride in Liberia. No road, no health, just name it. And we are such people who just don't care.
That's the fearless May Azango, who's amassed some impressive awards and death threats, reporting from what is arguably Liberia's best newspaper, Front Page Africa. OTM producer Mira Sharma and I are shadowing that paper this week to see how Liberia's story is reported by Liberians.
We are always complacent and we are quick to forget. So when Ebola came, we were saying government. I can tell you that a lot of people said it. Government just wanted to create an avenue to eat more money.
Out of Western countries.
Yes.
So they invented this.
No such thing as Ebola. They said it was government way of scaring people and blowing false alarm to get more money. But until Ebola started to kill hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, we are the kind of people that when we don't see, we won't believe. When they are shooting guns, instead of you running from there, you say you want to go and run and see where the bullet flying from. That's the kind of people we are. We want to see it.
Front Page Africa was the first Liberian paper to print pictures of the dead and the dying so they could see it. And we'll see it too. But our story starts, of course, at the airport.
Welcome to Liberia. You please wash your hands and do your temperature. You welcome. You wash your hands and do your temperature. Wash your hands this way, ma'am, please. This way, you wash your hands and do your temperature. You welcome.
Next morning at the hotel, breakfast with May and Front Page editor Rodney Sia. Lately, he says, the Front Page Africa staff earn extra money for the paper by fixing for foreign reporters. That means guiding them, setting up interviews, and often, this was a surprise, interpreting.
The major problem they have is the accent. I mean, it's English, but it's colloquial. So if you slow to catch on, you think they're speaking Greek to you.
Give me some sayings. You're not sitting down here. Are you not going to sit? What a woman all over the place for? Why are you all over the place?
Like, for example, they go to those Ebola places, and the big thing they will have problem catching is debali, dead body.
Oh.
The woman sick.
The woman sick. It means the woman is sick.
So, Rodney, what are your plans for today?
Well, today's supposed to be the biggest holiday in Liberia. It's called Tubman's birthday.
William Tubman?
He died in 1971, but he ruled for 27 years, which makes him the longest-serving Liberian president. This day became the biggest holiday in Liberia.
You said it was kind of like America's 4th of July?
It's even bigger than Christmas here. People leave their houses as early as 7 o'clock in the morning. They set up tents on the beach. They have parties on the beaches. People look forward to it every year.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the Ebola this year, the government has said no one should go on the beaches. So me and I will go around and see if we can find some action.
Where's Miami Beach?
Where they wrote the Miami Beach, man?
Miami Beach. The managers, the workers are desperate because the government has closed the beaches not just for the holiday, but until Ebola leaves Liberia. Fancy hotel beachfronts aren't patrolled, nor clubs, nor markets. Rodney's subtext is that these public restrictions are unevenly applied to the poor.
So welcome to Miami Beach.
What is your name again?
My name is Lafis Wembati.
What do you do here?
I have a beach business here.
And how is it affecting you?
Very horrible. We agreed to close down, but now the government is saying we should lock down for real until Ebola leaves Liberia. If you want to close down a beach, close down every activity that will cause crowd. Even a party, even a mosque, even a church.
Even a wedding.
Anything you think that will cause more than 5%, it should lock it down.
Rodney's sympathy for the men who may have lost their livelihoods is paired with a countervailing concern that Liberians are growing cavalier about Ebola. Though the number of new cases has dropped to 50 a day, it's appeared in every county. Front Page Africa wrestles with that. When the 14-week state of emergency was lifted last month, Monrovia seemed to be drifting into a new normal. There's chlorinated water for hand washing in front of shops and public buildings, but people again throng the markets and ride three to a motorbike. On the day we landed, Monrovia was locked in an epic traffic jam as young people rallied in the streets for former soccer superstar, now Senate candidate, George Weah. At our Sunday breakfast, Rodney said that would be Monday's lead.
What's the headline?
Ebola, not real in politics. We've all seen how people die from Ebola in Liberia. But you have this rally yesterday where thousands of people were in the streets celebrating. They took the shoes off, walking barefoot. They had like shirts off, holding each other, hugging, kissing in some places. And just the congestion, it's like for a day, Ebola was not real. So we want to illustrate that in the headline, in the story for our paper on Monday.
Front Page Africa seems to be determined to remind people that this crisis is far from over. Why do you think people think it is?
That's how Liberians are. They're quick to forget. The president has been saying the last couple of weeks that she wants Ebola to be over by December, by Christmas. But the American ambassador, Deborah Malak, said she wasn't happy with the statement the president made.
So the ambassador is concerned as it sets up a false sense of expectation and may actually have the impact of diminishing the safety precautions you take rather than heightening them?
It does. It does. And that's going to be a key thing going forward. Everybody wants it to be over with Ebola, but Liberia cannot be officially declared Ebola free until our neighbors, Sierra Leone and Guinea, are declared free. Someone can cross over the border and come back in Liberia and infect somebody else. So that's why it's important to have this message. It's not over.
I just want you to describe what it is we're doing today and where we're going.
We're on our way to one of the few Ebola hotspots in Liberia. It's called Genewonde in Grand Cape Mount County.
Now we're on a road trip with Wadi Williams, Front Page Africa's newsroom chief, following up on a piece she did last month in a rural village.
We might see maybe sick people being taken out of their homes, and we might also see families who are mourning their loved ones.
Do we know why it's still a hot spot?
People are still in denial. You know, they don't believe that it is Ebola that's killing their family members. And so they do secret burials. That's where the problem is. Because once you bathe a dead, you know, Ebola victim, you definitely will infect a lot of other people.
Why do they not believe that it's Ebola?
Probably they haven't gotten the message yet. And, you know, it's a remote town. You will see that it's very far, you know, from the rest of the city, from the rest of the country. And you will see that when we go along the way, you will not even see buckets, you know, for hand washing. Some of the villages, there's only one bucket for everyone, you know, to wash their hands. So it's really difficult, you know, for them.
So bumpy, and we're being thrown back and forth across it and across the car. And I get to ride in the front seat, and the people in the back seat, including Mira, have no idea.
Yeah, you consider white. Oh, look here, white.
How close I would be to just barfing up all over them.
Everyone with the clear color.
The road to Genewonde is very, very bad. You have to have a four-wheel drive, a really big vehicle, to be able to get in there. You have to get on a motorbike, and then the motorbike drivers will tell you that they don't stop at Genewonde because of what is going on. They believe that the town is cursed.
May Azanga's traveling with us too, and sports reporter Macaulay Sambai, who's from the area and can speak Vai, the local language.
The town chief for Jenewunde is a woman. She's one of the few women, you know, leaders in the rural areas.
What? It never used to happen before. Never. What? Who are you to leave your kitchen, warm your husband's bed, fixing food for his children, to go and do what? Make decision? Who are you?
She's like carrying the whole town on her shoulders now.
Liberia is changing.
We've arrived. Wadi talks to the young town chief, the mayor, following up on her last interview. Remember that accent issue? This will be a challenge.
Because when we came, you people, we mayor in despair. Some people were crying, including you. You were crying. How you will compare that situation to now?
The last time when you came here, the situation we were in, we were confused totally because to see your loved one, we just died. 1, 2, 3 days, you see somebody die, 1, 2, 3 days. However, the situation that we are in now, we thank the Almighty God, we're going to two weeks, no sick person yet, and no dead body.
We're going to 2 weeks, no sick person, no dead body. We thank God for that.
In fact, we learned one man died of Ebola right here just 3 days ago. Still, denial?
This is a very poor village. One hand pump for 150 houses, about 2,000 people, minus the 20 that were killed by Ebola. Every day they check the houses to make sure everybody's temperature is what it should be. And they're prepared to call the ambulance, but because of the roads, or because of the scarcity of ambulances, sometimes it takes literally a couple of days for it to arrive. As far as the mayor is concerned, their elected representative needs to get them more water now, better roads now. The minute they vote someone in, they'll no longer have any time for them here.
How are you looking in the house? Your husband can control you, you can control him.
She's asking whether she's in control of the home or the husband is in control.
Gender equality, we have to be equal in the house. Sometimes you the men, do my because I lay inside you. Whatsoever you say, I should go back. No.
I will not bow by what you say.
I will bring my suggestion out there.
We got gender equality. We got to sit
and discuss.
On the ride home, I get the lowdown on Wadi.
Where did you grow up, and how did you get into this field?
I grew up between Sierra Leone and Liberia. Because of the war, I left Liberia. I was 9 years old. I left alone without my parents and went to Sierra Leone, and I was adopted, taken by several families that I moved in between. My foster grandfather had a radio. He would always tune to the international radio stations. And that's how I followed what happened in Liberia throughout the years. But then the war broke out in Sierra Leone and I had to come back to Liberia. And I did my high school press club. And when I went to university, I did a newsletter there. So I've always wanted to do journalism, probably based on, you know, the kind of life that I've had as a refugee child without your family and, you know, wanting to tell your story.
May had no use for journalism. She fancied the hotel biz.
I never wanted to be a journalist in the first place.
Why not?
I wanted to be a hotel manager, make my own money. Even in my school press club, I didn't join anything. I told them I didn't want to be bothered because I don't want to die poor. Yeah. But when the war came, the war changed everything, and I found myself in Cote d'Ivoire living as a refugee. I had no voice. The only organization that could speak for refugee was UNHCR, and they had hundreds of cases. So mine wouldn't have made any difference. So I swallowed the bitter pills. But when I came home, I saw people live the same life I lived in Cote d'Ivoire, under an elected government. So I said to myself, if I didn't have a voice in Cote d'Ivoire, these people don't have voice.
So they had a journalism program at EABC, the state radio. I decided to take advantage. And then I started to enjoy it, okay?
But what about dying poor?
I know. The war made me to jump into journalism. You see, whatever we choose in life, it does not always come to pass. What do? I had a different plan, but life had a different plan for me.
We were wondering, Mira and I, about Rodney. He was a contradiction, a young, old-time newsman, warm but solitary, open but guarded. So I probed a little.
We find Rodney a little elusive. We can't quite figure him out.
Working with Rodney for the past 5 years, almost 5 years, I haven't been able to figure him out. I keep learning every day, you know, what actually motivates him. You see, Rodney has no wife, no kid. So his newspaper is his life. And sometimes I'm like, maybe if you had a family, you will know what it's like to wake up in the morning, you know, with kids, and you have to tend to them first before you get, you know, on the field to do your job. But Rodney will be editing your stories and call you at 12 or 1 a.m. in the morning and expects that you will be up. The other day he called me, I was about to leave, you know, it's curfew. Curfew is like 12 p.m. and I left the office around 10, and it's like an hour drive from the office to where I live, so I have to leave an hour ahead. And he calls me on the phone and says, hey, come. I go into the office and what he asks is that, why did you use this cliche in your story? I'm like, why couldn't you just say it on the phone? You had to make me come into your office. He said, don't you ever use it again. So I haven't been able to figure him out. I haven't been able.
He will shout at me. He will say, you are suspended for time indefinite. Sometimes he gets so angry. And then after a week, he calls. So you feel you big shot, you can't come to the office. But you suspended me. That's how he is. So I would say Rodney is crazy like me. So it doesn't matter. He will blow the door. He will knock the desk. When Rodney is angry, he will slam the door.
Seriously?
Oh, then Rodney, what?
He seems so
he's a
quiet
giant.
And so restrained.
Don't push him.
Protect your family. Protect your community.
A message from the Ministry of Health and Social Welfare and partners.
Coming up, Ebola is a stress test for Liberian democracy. This is On the Media.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.